No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, we're back with the Death of the Lineup. We're going to talk a little bit about the Warriors and the offseason, which really is about Kuminga. Like, that's all the news about the Warriors right now is what they're going to do about Kuminga. And I know on our channel, every time we post something about Kuminga, people are interested. So this will be good for folks on our channel as well. I've been hearing a lot. Now, Plus Minus had their Kuminga pod. Anthony Slater had his write-up on Kuminga. I want to read you what Bobby Marks said about Jonathan Kuminga. He said he basically controls free agency in Golden State. If they sign him to a contract and bring him back, then that's really it as far as what they can do in the offseason. So meaning if the Warriors have Kuminga in their plans and they sign him, like, shut down the rest of the offseason, they, you know, whomever they draft or whatever. But that's really it, just because of the number that they would bring him back at. And then he said, in addition to, actually, this isn't necessarily the same quote, but from the same article, in addition to signing Kuminga to a long-term contract and the sign and trade outcomes, as a restricted free agent, he can agree to an offer sheet with another team, which the Warriors have an opportunity to match. That's restricted free agency, what we've been talking about. He could also sign a $7.9 million qualifying offer to play this season or this upcoming season, and then he'd be an unrestricted free agent. Doesn't sound like that is going to happen. So it appears the Warriors either will sign Kuminga to a long-term contract, which will leave them with very little financial flexibility in free agent, or facilitate a sign-and-trade that brings in a player or players that are a better fit in Coach Kerr's rotation. So I think we all kind of know that. Listeners probably know that if you're following very closely. What option do you like best as a Kuminga fan? Option A, you sign Kuminga to a long-term contract, but you've basically, that's it. You can't really do too much else with your roster unless you do make some trades. There's a Moses Moody, you know, there's a Pajemski, something like that. You would have to then trade one of those guys. Or do you do a sign and trade where you're sending Kuminga out and bringing pieces back that maybe fit your team better? Which of those two scenarios do you think is going to be better for the Warriors in the 25-26 season?
I think what's better for the Warriors is to sign and trade him. But I also think what's potentially more realistic is to sign him, wait for the date in which he can be traded again, which is like what, early January or something, if he were to sign the extension, and then to trade him then, because you could trade the full amount of the contract then. Whereas if you sign and trade him now, you could only trade half of what, like if he signs a $30 million contract, you can only sign and trade and only $15 million of that would go towards, you know, bringing in another player. So, you know, I keep throwing around the name Coby White. And the reason I do is because I think he's a good player on a lower contract. So that's why I think that, you know, I don't know if he's available or not, but just it's that combination of young, talented player on cheap contract that sign and trade scenario would work for. Lauri Markkanen's another. I know that no one wants to hear that name after what happened last season, but just another example of a player that's, I mean, Lauri did send that extension with Utah. I forgot how much, but I mean, we just go into the conversation of Kuminga, Moody, and Pods again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I keep saying Coby White, because he's on a $12 million expiring contract this year. Like, wouldn't that be the best thing to do, is to try and get Coby White for that expiring deal, and then it just goes away after this year if you don't, you know, want to extend him? Or actually, Lowry's at 46 now.
That's kind of what they did in the CP trade, though, right?
Where they just kind of let it go. But CP was a $30 million number that could have been used, you know, to get you someone who made a little bit more money. Mm-hmm. You know, so a little different there. But I see what you're saying, because, you know, that stopped us from maybe, you know, a different season. So my thought process is that I think it's more likely that Kuminga gets signed, because they're free agents. It's GP2 and Looney. And then, of course, some of the smaller amount players like Kevin Knox and stuff, but like GP2 and Looney are the only players on this team that are, besides Kuminga, like are free agents. But Kuminga's restricted, they're unrestricted. So
you're willing to bring him back, and then they really don't make any adjustments. So at least for the first 2 or 3 months of the season, you're essentially rolling out the same squad as last year.
I mean, I don't know if it's my preferred option, but I think it's probably the more likely one. I do wonder how quickly that decision will be made. That's kind of what, you know, I keep hearing reports from Windhorst that like this free agency is going to start off with a bang, and sounds like the Kevin Durant San Antonio thing's already done.
Is Giannis going to get traded?
They're saying him and the Milwaukee Bucks are saying no, but I can't. Unless his wife and children are so happy in Milwaukee.
Maybe he's worried about his brother.
Thanasis has no team if he goes. I mean, hell, Thanasis can have a spot on the Warriors.
Yeah, he can come. He can come play. Be 15th man.
Yeah, it's not my preference to. My preference is the Coby White thing. And, you know, it's not just exclusive to Coby White. I'd have to think of a couple more players that can fit this thing, because again, I don't know if he's available. I thought he ended the year really well, and you know, MT was kind of throwing around his name, and I was like, oh, maybe there's a chance. But he did end the year really well, and he's young. I don't know why Chicago would want to get rid of him, but that's kind of the thing I'm looking at, is okay, do the sign and trade. Sure, it doesn't use the 100% of a salary to get back a player. It uses 50%, but you know, the player we want anyways doesn't make that much money, so it would actually work in that scenario. I wonder what Kuminga's value is now, though, because Houston Rockets series, you would have thought that you would have had to give up a pick to get off of this player. Minnesota series comes around, he kind of shows like, hey, give me touches and maybe there's an all-star there. So, you know, is the Cam Johnson thing still there? I just don't know who's out there right now that says, I want Jonathan Kuminga. You know, Detroit keeps doing all these, like, any opportunity they get, they add an athlete, whether, even though I don't think they should, as a 1 year Detroit Pistons fan from 2022, I don't think they should keep adding athletes, but every chance they get, they add one.
That was your past squad.
That was. What's your take? What do you think?
Let me read you. Kawakami had a mailbag in the Standard, and he wrote, the Kuminga questions, which already are wearing on the Warriors, would be a constant presence if he comes back. Is he guaranteed a full rotation spot? What happens the first time Kerr plays him only 12 minutes? Is the offense changing? Is Kuminga getting better? What do Steph, Jimmy, and Dre think? What does Joe Lacob think? Will they trade Kuminga by December, February? Never? That's a lot and probably too much. So the basically what Tim was answering was someone had asked him kind of about the previous two players who they actually did, one traded, Jordan Poole, and one they just let go to free agency, Klay Thompson. Having those guys on the roster for that season was kind of detrimental to maybe the stability of the locker room or whatever. And this is not even Jordan's fault, right? This is Draymond's fault, really. But he was saying, if you keep Kuminga, you have all of these unanswered questions, and this is kind of looming over the entire season. So you may, maybe, because you were saying wait to get the maximum value in a trade from him. And I think Tim is saying, maybe you just do it now and rip off the Band-Aid, because you don't then have this cloud hanging over the team. And Jonathan, because Jonathan will know all of the options, right? Mike Dunleavy, he will be able to do a bunch of different things, and Kuminga's marketability is dependent on whether or not his coach plays him. And I read the comments on our page here, and half of those comments are get rid of him because he's not a good player and he's not a good fit. And the other half are, this is all Steve Kerr's fault. If he just played the guy, they would have all of these answers already. And so even, you know, it's very in the middle, even as far as the fan base is concerned, it's very polarizing. And I loved Tom Tolbert. His analogy was Jonathan Kuminga is the new Belt Wars, from when Brandon Belt was the Giants' first baseman, and half of the fan base loved him and half of the fan base wanted to replace him every single year. And that's kind of what it is with Kuminga. The thing about Kuminga, though, is, you know, even us, we've been on Team Kuminga just because he's young and it's, you see certain things that feel untapped, but that's a lot of the NBA players who don't actually quite get to superstardom, right? Everyone's talented, and it's who actually gets better and becomes a star and who doesn't. More than likely, the answer is that he's not, but then there's that small chance that he does become a great player. And if he leaves this team and, you know, becomes an excellent player on another team, then you're like, oh man, why didn't we figure that out? But if we're looking at what sort of history is, it's like Wiseman, they gave up on Wiseman. You know, they've had other younger players who seem to be great fits and they kind of fizzled out. And JK has been here now since the title year, the last title year. And there are glimpses, and then there are things where you're like, man, you know, he's going to wave off Steph. Like, Steph's doing all of this running and he's trying to get open. And Kuminga's like, nope, I got this one. So, you know, who knows? I would prefer that whatever that decision is, that it would be pretty decisive, and that we don't have to keep talking about this. But then again, that goes against what you're saying, which is you probably maximize your leverage if you do trade him after, you know, the beginning of next year or whatever that date is. That is probably the smartest play. And that sounds like the Mike Dunleavy play, because we know Mike is not making rash decisions. Like, Mike is waiting things out. Like, they waited all the way until the very end to figure out that Kevin Durant did not want to come back before switching to Jimmy. I have a story about, I was wondering if you heard this story in a second. So my guess is the Mike Dunleavy way is your way. I would prefer that they just decide either sign him and he's on the team, which I probably think is less than 50%, probably even less than 25%. Or just sign and trade now, get it over with, and we can move on and we can add the pieces, because you want to, you know, you what do we got? 2 years left, a year and a half left of figuring this thing out. And then they're going to trade Jimmy. Like, imagine being Jimmy. You're just like, I know I'm getting traded at some point. I just hope that we can run it back at least one more year. So that is
if Dunleavy is of my thinking, and we know Joey Lacob thinks that Kuminga is baby Giannis.
Yeah, Joey Lacob's like, nope, we're signing this guy, 5-year deal. He's going to be the future when Steph retires.
Exactly. So if the GM thinks that maybe we should keep him on the roster and maximize leverage, but the owner thinks we should keep him forever, there's no one of in position of power that maybe thinks they should trade him right now. I again, like, I'm not of the camp. Like, I saw the Wiseman thing, right? I wanted to hang on to Wiseman and try to maximize value or even see what he could become on this team. They ended up trading him for 4 second round picks that turned into Gary Payton, GP2. And even as low as value as that looked, looking back at it right now, they won the trade. Even though they've had nothing come of it, no championships or anything, but they, you know, you would have to attach many assets to take it off of whatever Wiseman's contract might be right now.
So Wiseman, man, I really feel bad for that guy.
Me too. But you know, I'm not of the camp of like, I think that Jonathan Kuminga will not reach his full potential on the Golden State Warriors. And I don't think his full potential is that of a superstar. I think it's like a, you know, maybe like on the brink of being an all-star every couple of years. So like, I'm not saying keep him because I think he should be on this team. I was just saying keep him because, you know, maybe there is a trade deadline.
You're trying to maximize leverage.
Yeah, but if you get Coby White, do it. That's my take. If you can get Coby White, do it. If you can get a player of that caliber that you can do in the sign and trade, do it. I
you
just
know
don't
Calgary
think that's
wants.
Who does TK want?
He wants Trey Murphy.
That's never going to happen.
That's who he wants.
Why does everyone think Trey Murphy's available?
So this was actually a discussion on the Bill Simmons podcast from the other day with Russillo. Bill went through a list of guys and he was like, all right, when you think that there is someone who is not on the table, you know, let me know. And he went through Giannis, he went through Jaylen Brown, and with the, he didn't raise his voice until Trey Murphy was named.
Russillo?
He's like, yeah, he's like, why would they trade him for? And Bill's like, what if they could bring in a new GM? They just want to blow everything up. They want to start all over. And so he didn't believe that he was going to be traded either.
You know, they've said, who is the GM again? It's like, oh, who I forgot.
Joe Dumars.
It's Dumars. Yeah, it is Dumars. And he said he's committed to Zion, which I don't totally believe. But if he is committed to Zion, what kind of player do you want to put around him? A defensive player who could shoot from like 5 feet behind the 3-point line that is like blooming into a superstar with super athleticism.
No. And okay. What put, if he, bring, add Kuminga so that Kuminga. Zion and Kuminga just bump into each other on the court.
But even if they didn't have Zion, like you would still just want like Trey Murphy is becoming, you know,
you'd want Trey Murphy and Kuminga on the same team.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us Zion.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, so here's the Kevin Durant story. So Draymond told this on one of the late night shows. It may have been on, was it on Fallon? It might have been on Fallon. I don't remember which one he was on, but he basically said that
he knew that they were talking to Durant, and that, or that, not that, the, or that they just wanted Durant. So when the Luka trade happens, Steph goes to Draymond and he basically says the trade happened. Draymond thought Steph meant that they just got Durant. Not,
but you missed the part with Lakeup.
What was the Lakeup part?
So Lakeup goes to Draymond and he says, Dre, I think we got Kevin
Durant. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we're going to get Kevin Durant.
And Lakeup leaves and then runs back to Draymond panicking and goes, I was not supposed to tell you that. Don't tell anyone. And Draymond goes, okay, yeah, yeah, sure, sure, sure. And then Steph comes and says, Draymond, did you see the trade? And Draymond goes, holy shit, it already happened? And Steph goes, huh? and Draymond's like, wait, what? And then Steph's like, the Luka one. And so it was, Draymond almost blew his cover, but, you know, he technically blew his cover.
I mean, he blew his cover on TV. Like, yeah. It's like, come on, man. Just not telling you anything anymore.
And I mean, we learned, you know, after the fact, too, that that was about to happen. And then KD was like, no, like, and what he said on the Draymond podcast, Kevin Durant said, you would have to trade everything to get me. It wouldn't be worth it. Like, we would have nothing.
They would not. They would not have to trade everything. They would have to trade Draymond.
No, but this past at the trade deadline, it was looking like everything. It was looking like Wiggins and Kuminga. I don't think they could have afforded.
I think that'd be
but
fine.
I think it was also like maybe like one of Pods or Moody too. Like, I don't know, just what they got from Jimmy. It felt like a home run. Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, adios. Lindy Waters, adios. One first round pick that already conveyed. We don't even have to worry about it anymore. Adios.
I don't think the Spurs, if they trade for Durant, I don't think they have to give up as much.
Who do you think the Spurs
I think his value. So Spurs will have to give up probably their pick this year, right?
The Spurs will probably give up not the number two pick. They'll probably give up the number 10 pick with Devin Vassell and Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Maybe one other thing and that'll do it. I think Kevin Durant's value at the trade deadline was higher than it was. Just because I think right now it's just so clear. Like we all know he ain't going back. Like yeah, they underperformed, you know, they're stuck on this Beal thing. And they can extract value from Kevin Durant right now. Like, we know he's not going back. I think there was a thought at the trade deadline that, like, you know, maybe the Suns can swing something and get Jimmy Butler for Bradley Beal. And, like, they still have a chance to, like, be something so that Kevin Durant wasn't as available because
that was Jimmy's preferred spot, right?
It was. They were willing to give him the deal, a better deal than the Warriors gave him. So that's why he wanted to go there. But... yeah, I mean, if you can get Kevin Durant right now, bye, Draymond.
Yeah,
Draymond, bye,
go that trade. I find the whole thing funny. It's because, like, Draymond is in the center of all these things, but he's also probably the biggest reason why KD left the first place. Like, maybe KD leaves anyways. That's just, he just seems a little bit nomadic like that. But the fact that he's the one who got KD really is, like, contacting him. And then he has no idea if KD even wants to play here. That just shows you the level of communication that they still have these days. All right.
I will say, I thought that they were, like, not friends. And then they did the podcast. And I was like, okay, they're, like, fine. They're, like, cordial. You know, they're not best buds by any means, but they're, like, cool.
Yeah. Was it a good pod?
It actually was. Baron Davis was trying to, like, send KD his, like, Spotify. And I was like, all right, time to turn it off. No.
All right, let's end this with some thoughts about our NBA finals here. So as of this recording, we are the day of game three, Pacers and Thunder.
Game three's today?
No, it'll be the day that this thing goes live.
Oh, okay.
We had talked about it kind of in chat, and I was like, you know, I want the Pacers rather than the Knicks, just because I think the games will be exciting, and there's a chance that I think the Pacers could possibly extend them to game six. And I just thought the Knicks against the Thunder was going to be like, adios, muchachos, sweet.
Barbecue chicken.
Yeah. So... They win that first game on that crazy Halliburton shot after he just did not play well all game long. And then they get boat raced in game two. And so now they come home and they play. They have the actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, the game three will happen after this thing goes live. So we're going live, or we will put this podcast up Thursday morning. Game three will already have happened. So we're missing out on that. But my point is that I think Indiana needs game three. If they don't get game three, this might be a five game and see you later. If they can get game three, then this becomes way more interesting. I still don't think they're going to win. I still don't think they match up all that well. But there's going to be a lot of incentive from the fans. There's going to be a lot of hoopla. Thunder are still a very young team. How do they play when Indiana is going crazy at home? I think they need to win game three, and then that could possibly scare the Thunder a little bit, and then maybe we get a really good series. But if they don't win game three, then I think it's going to be tough.
1-2-3 King. Yeah. I'm with you. I don't have much else to add to this. I just feel like this is another a series that finals are, we're at 1-1. Like, how exciting. But it's like, I'm not that excited. Like, I think the Thunder are going to win this, and I think they're going to win this at most in six. It's kind of like semi-feeling of how you felt about Miami and Denver being 1-1 after two. It's like we knew that Denver was going to cook them. I don't think it's that level of it's going to be done in five confidence that I had with Denver. But, they got to do some Indiana Pacers magic in game three to convince me that if they do magic in game three, I could be convinced that it goes to seven. Mm-hmm. If they don't, it's five. And if they do, I don't know. Like, it's, I think that, I mean, what do you think about the whole, OKC thing, right? They just feel like a weird finals team winner. Like,
It's a very engineered team. It is the first team in this era where everybody was trying to tank for draft picks, and the 76ers didn't quite get there. The Celtics actually did a pretty good job, and they finally did win that title.
They got it out of luck, though. Not luck, but those were the Brooklyn Nets picks. Those weren't their picks.
No. Yeah, but it was. But they were like, they were ahead of the game when it came to the smart moves and such. And
yeah,
Thunder one is just like an accumulation of great smart GM moves, great drafts, putting the right guys around, and getting lucky, of course. Able to draft a Chet Holmgren because he's kind of like the perfect big on this team. And they are engineered to actually go on a crazy run too. Like, this may not even be their best team. Now, the way that the NBA works, they're also not going to be able to keep all of their best players because the league, with the cap and stuff, they're going to have to trade one of their players at some point to get younger and more capital and stuff like that. So,
but it just seems realistic that they can do that and continue the success because they still have so many assets because of the smart GM moves. Like, this isn't over. They still have a war chest, and it honestly just feels like too soon that they were able to pull this off. And it, when you think about it, it's like, okay, they were the one seed last year as well. Like, sure, it probably wasn't too soon, but when I think about, like, you know, last year they were a second round exit. The year before, they lost in the play-in to Minnesota, who went on to lose to Denver in the first round. Mm-hmm. So, play-in exit as their first test of as a young core, play-in exit, second round exit. They skipped the whole conference finals exit, and now they're right in the finals. Like, that just feels too fast. And I don't know. Like, there's no asterisk here.
They haven't had. Now, the heartbreak could come here, right? But the problem is, the Pacers are also there for the first time. So it's, you know, if you had a Boston who the Tatum injury, put that aside, they were going to struggle to beat the Knicks with Tatum there, but you still would have picked them. You still would have probably picked them in seven, even if the Knicks went up, they were going to go up 3-1, right? You'd have probably said, I still have a feeling the Celtics can pull this out just because they have that experience. Indiana does not have that experience, which is why I think Oklahoma could skip that step.
It's always fun rooting for the underdog until the underdog runs into like the finals team. And now I'm like, well, the underdog has no damn chance. I wish it was Boston here, you know? But yeah, this just feels like a weird, I don't know, maybe this is just how the new NBA is going to look like, where, you know, maybe, you know, Orlando just pulls off something crazy or Detroit pulls off something crazy. And then it's just like, you know, I've just been so confident in like how historically this has worked, where like, you know, you have multiple tests in the playoffs until you're like ready for this contending run. Mm-hmm. Feels like OKC was able to skip a few steps. And of course, you know, you mentioned with the smart GM moves helped with that. And then getting, not lucky is not the right word, but kind of, they didn't think Shea was going to be this in that Paul George trade.
I mean, just look at Caruso for Josh Giddey. Now Giddey is going to be a pretty decent player in Chicago, but you just grabbed like one of the best defensive perimeter guys in the league and you just added him to an already good perimeter defense. And you're mm-hmm. like, okay, we're just going to be the best perimeter defense in all of basketball. Them and the Valkyries in the WNBA, the two perimeter beasts.
And like, we're just going to eventually continue to see moves like, oh, Cason Wallace's contract, he's going to be due for that extension. Like, here's Cason, two firsts. And then those firsts get used to like, you know, get like Jalen Suggs, who had a couple injuries in a couple years, so his value is not high anymore. And you know, Orlando's been wanting to get off of him in 2028. And then you're just able to add Jalen Suggs to the roster. You know, it's just like there's going to be these little moves where Aaron Wiggins, here's a couple, you know, couple firsts. And I just feel like there's a chance they can, not a Warriors level dynasty, but I think they can have a lot of continued success.
Some people may just not want to make deals with them anymore, though. Like, do you want to make a deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers to help them, you know,
there should be the OKC tax, where it's like, if you're, you know, Phoenix and you're like, okay, KD from the Warriors costs this amount because we know they don't have much, but KD from OKC will not cost the same amount because we know you guys got a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there could be teams that maybe want to do that, and then OKC probably won't do that. But I think there are teams that will be like, you know, for Chicago, that was the right move. That was the right move to take Giddey for Alex Caruso in that moment. Mm-hmm. Whereas everyone else was like, that was not smart. Like, that didn't feel smart.
Caruso's wasting away on your under 500 team.
Yeah. So I think there are just going to be teams that continue to do business with OKC like that, just because it's like, this makes sense for them, even though the rest of the league thinks this is dumb.
There's another thing, though, is like you mentioned Cason Wallace. You're like, okay, if they drafted him, then that's a smart team drafting him. Then we you know, that's a cosign for us. And so you bring over the guy from OKC. Mm-hmm. That's good PR. He's probably going to be a really good player. Same with Wiggins, like you said. But you know who the one who I thought was kind of going to be like that really like clutch utility guy was Isaiah Joe, and he doesn't even really get that much run anymore.
I mean, yeah, I think the Wiggins Wallace Dort kind of the way they play, I think it makes more sense for. I mean, they're all OKC is just all this defense, all this. Defense, it's just, I don't know, it sounds simple, but it's
they're gonna have to continue to draft really, really well to keep it going, but they're gonna depend. It's almost like in fantasy baseball, there's this mentality of stars and scrubs. Like, you spend all of your capital on like three or four like really good players, and then you try and fill in the blanks and the rest of it by, you know, dollar players. They're gonna have Shea and Jalen and Chet, and you're gonna go, okay, those are gonna be our guys. Now, how can we fill in? Well, it's going to be young players, and then you're going to have to turn over those young players. Can you? You will not be able to keep a Lu Dort. Lu Dort is going to be the type of player that is going to be too rich for you just because he's on such a good team. And he's going to go somewhere else and make more money because you can't afford him. So that is, it's the thing that, that the Celtics are going to have to do this year. Even
I agree with you, but there's a big but here because OKC has the war chest.
Yeah, they have more chance. They have more chances to fail.
More chances to fail. And, you know, they don't have to draft great. They could say, here's two firsts for your great draft pick that you just did because we messed up on ours. You know, we could just toss away those two firsts. I incredible job all around. Like many GMs don't get the leash that Presti has, especially in like a small market team. Like
part of it though for him is he didn't really have that pressure to deliver because it's just
not much
city, yeah. And he was able to do his thing. All right, we're done. We'll be back. Not sure about Warrior stuff. We'll kind of figure it out. But BSPN had a really good week with we had a lot of shows this week. So it is fun with the Valkyries here. You know, I was almost going to go to a Bay FC game and I was like, oh, man, who knows soccer? Who can we get to do a Bay FC show? No, it's kind of fun just, you know, talking to Bay Area sports. It's a pretty fun time in this area. All right. So for Brian, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.